have gathered us. You have called us here this morning. And so, Lord, as we prepare our hearts for your word, we pray, O God, that you would speak to each and every one of us. Father, speak to us in a way that we can understand. Speak to us in a way that we would recognize that you are speaking to each and every one of us. And Father, give us the ability to respond and to act and to be committed, Father, to your word. And we honor you in this moment as you speak. In Jesus' name, amen. So Pastor Jake was telling me that you are going through the book of Mark and you are doing some wonderful discoveries in Mark. So the passage that I chose today, if I remember correctly, I think it was the same passage that I preached here the last time I was here last year. But as I was reading and preparing for this morning, I saw that what I spoke to you about last year is still valuable, but this time it seems like I went somewhere different with the passage. So even though you've heard this passage before, I want to encourage you to sort of put everything you know about the passage you're about to hear on the shelf and open yourself up for something different. It is a little difficult, so I ask you to just bear with me and come with me and just open yourself up for this different way of looking at this passage. Amen. So please turn to your pew Bibles, and we are reading from Mark chapter 11. We're going to read verses 12 through 21. And the Bible I have is the New King James Version, so I'm afraid it might be different, slightly different from what you are reading from. So Mark chapter 11, we're going to read from verses 12 through 21. Please hear the word of God. Now, the next day when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not season yet for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat from you ever." And his disciples heard it. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught them, saying, "Is it not written that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you have turned it into a den of thieves." And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went out of the city. Now in the morning, as he was passing by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. So Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. Friends, this is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Interesting, huh? So there are two things happening in the passage that I want to draw out right away. Sometimes if it seems like the story of the fig tree is not connected to the temple. And sometimes it also seems like the story in the temple is not connected to the fig tree story at all. But thank God that sometimes when we look at his word, it is not about what we understand, but it is about what God is teaching us. I grew up in a community that were predominantly farmers. My family is predominantly has a lot of farmers in it. And I grew up in a place where there is a specific time for rain. This means that the farmers who lived in that area at a specific time, they have to prep their land so that as soon as there's a sign of rain, they can plant at a good time so the rain can water their plots and hopefully it would grow. They would have a good season. It is an expectation. It is something that people do. So when it's dry season, when people are prepping their lands, everybody does the same work because they are anticipating that when the rains come, they can plant at a good time. So it's about expectations and the fact that you don't know when the rains will come. Sometimes the rains will come 2 weeks early, maybe 2 months early, or it could also come 2 months late. So you prep your land in anticipation because you don't know when the rains will come. But you better be ready when the rains come so that your crops can experience the rain. When I was choosing the title for this message, I wasn't sure what to call it. So I just called it, Behold, He Comes. Behold, He Comes. Behold, He Comes stands for the fact that we don't know when Christ is coming, like the rains. But we are encouraged to always be prepared because we don't know. And because we don't know, we don't want to be caught late putting our seeds in the ground. We don't want to be caught late, not prepared for the things that Christ has instructed us about in his word. So we get ready, whether we like it or not. Whether we are ready or not, we get prepared because we want to experience the rain when they come in. The word of God says in Revelation, Chapter 3. It says, I come like a thief in the middle of the night. No one knows when a thief is coming. And if you did, I bet you would be prepared. But because you don't know, you are prepared anyway so that you're not surprised. Right? The fig tree. You would think that, I mean, this passage is so interesting. You would think that Jesus can tell that it is not time yet for figs to be on a fig tree, but yet he walked to it to go check it. The scripture we read said it was not season for fruit yet, but yet Jesus walked up to it. So I started thinking to myself, what is that? Why is he walking to it? After all, he's a person that can tell. We have numerous writings in the Bible about Jesus meeting people and was able to tell what they were thinking. And the people we always read about are saying they were marveled that Jesus can meet somebody and tell them what is in their mind, what they are thinking about. So how is it that Jesus could not tell that that tree back there is not, there are no fruits yet on the tree? So come with me for a moment. Let's go into the temple. The Bible says that Jesus went into the temple and drove out the people that sold in the temple, the money changers, drove out the people who sold doves. And so I kept thinking, what is this? What is the connection between the fig tree and the temple? Think about this. This is all a representation of whether we are prepared or not, whether we are ready for the master or not. After all, the Bible says that no one knows when Christ is coming back again. One of the songs we sang this morning spoke about the coming of Christ. The coming of Christ, nobody knows. The Bible says that not even the Son, only the Father knows. And that is why we have to be prepared. As a people, we have to be prepared. As a church, we have to be prepared. As a congregation, we have to be prepared. As families within the church, we have to be prepared so that we are not caught by surprise. I started thinking about the money changers. Oh, that temple. Christ said, have you not read that my temple will be a temple for all nations to worship? All nations, not one people, all nations. It meant that every year, annually, people came to the temple in Jerusalem to worship. They came to offer sacrifices. They came to do a lot of things. That is why there are money changers, because if you came from a different place where you have come to Jerusalem, you have come to the temple, you will need to change money to be able to do transactions in Jerusalem. So they were not talking about a little bit of money. It was a lot of money. Back then, it was also the fact that it was the church that held people's mortgages. And it was also the church where people went to borrow money when they have to deal with family problems, deal with anything that is in their life. So when they talk about money changers, they are not just talking about you bring me a currency from Germany and you get a currency from Jerusalem, where the temple was. It's a lot of money. They dealt with a lot of money. There's a lot of transactions that goes on. There's transactions that goes on in the church can make you forget about what the church is supposed to be about. And that is why Jesus came in and said, have you not read, do you not know that my house shall be a house of prayer? Because in that moment, at that time, the church has gone so far away from what it is supposed to be. So think about it. Some of these characters that we talk about today, the money changers, the deed holders, the people that sold doves, the people that just sat in the courts of the temple and did business all day. I'm sure there were people there who were like B&B people. So they would say, do you need a room? I have two rooms. I can give you one. And I started to think about how these are all representations of characters in the church which we stand for. I might not be a person who sells Dove, but in my heart, am I a person who is keeping something away from Christ, something that should make me functional in the church, but because it's in my heart, it's almost like I am blocked from doing what I am called to do. Am I a money changer in my heart? Am I a person who is transacting business in the house of God? Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with transacting business in the house of God. Because after all, we've been called into a community and we have to support each other. So if you have a business that I can support, yes. But is there something in your heart that is taking you away from the call that God has given you? Is there something that is blocking you from seeing the call that God has given you? So much that you've become like the money changers. You've become like these people. I think the tragedy about all this is that sometimes what we do keeps us away from God. What we do takes us away. It takes our interest away. So when we come to this wonderful place to fellowship, we are not devoted to this place. Again, there's nothing wrong in transacting business in church, but if it's taking you away from the things that God has called you to do, then there is something primarily wrong about that. It is that when you are called, you know what you are called for. And so when you come in the house of God, you come with your full heart and you are committed to the things that promotes us as the people of God. People need to look at us in this church, Hamilton CRC, and be able to tell the difference between us in this place and the people who don't believe in God, who are in the city and just do their thing. People should see you and be attracted to something about you that makes them want to follow you to Hamilton CRC. That is a true commitment. People should be able to see you at work and look at your attitude and you can look at your character and be able to say, there's something different about this guy. There's something different about this sister. And I want to know what it is. Because you are called to also challenge others to Christ. So my friends, is there something in our hearts that is blocking us away from doing the will of God, from committing to the will of God? Remember, Christ is coming. No one knows when. Are you prepared? Are you willing to just make yourself ready so that whether Christ comes in the morning or whether Christ comes in the afternoon or whether Christ comes very, very early in the morning when you are sleeping and perhaps snoring, would you be ready to just get up and know that Christ is here? I worked in hospitality industry for a long time, 29 years. And one of the things about the hospitality industry, especially when you are on the food part, one of the things that I didn't really like was the fact that the health inspector can show up anytime. You know, they don't give you a message that they're coming. They don't knock on your door to say, next week I'll be there. They don't tell you because they want to see if you're following the rules. They want to know if your house is clean. They want to know if the food that you are serving is clean, that you're following rules, that you're following the temperature rules, that you're following the cooking rules, that you're following the storage rule. And so when they are coming, they don't tell you. You know, you sit in your office, you sit in there maybe cranking some numbers and then at your door. And you're like, hey, and he would say, or she would say, I'm from the health department. And a lot of us, when we hear that, we go, oh, because we are not prepared. We are not ready for the health inspector to just walk into our facility. And so sometimes you try to clean stuff up. In my unit, I had signs that I can do for people to put on headnet. You know, put on your headnet because the health inspector is here. We are not ready. We always get caught not ready. And sometimes it's devastating because those health inspectors, they are not friendly. Yeah, they're not friendly at all. They make sure that they mark everything they see. And for the company that I work for, if you don't get above 65, you are in trouble, because my raise was tied to that all of a sudden. It doesn't matter that the whole year I've made money for the company. All of a sudden, my raise is tied to one report for the whole year. And so at the end of the year, I don't get a raise and I get mad. I get angry because I don't think it's fair. But I was not ready. I was not ready. I took things for granted. I just didn't anticipate the health inspector coming. My friend, so it is in the Word. So it is in our church. So it is with our calling. We got to be prepared at all times so that when Jesus walks up to us and expects to find a fruit on our tree, he would find something. Yes, it is not season yet for figs, but if we are prepared, if we are prepared enough, when Christ come unannounced, maybe he would find just three on top of our trees. Because we are prepared. That is the difference about people who are prepared and are on fire for God and people who are not prepared at all. A lot of times when we talk about commitment to church, people are afraid. You know, oh, it's enough for me to go to church on Sunday morning, but forget Bible class on Wednesdays. Forget singing practice on Friday. Oh, forget that. I have the time on Saturday morning and I can come into this place and maybe wipe something down and maybe just sweep this place. We don't want to be overcommitted because our friends will laugh at us. We don't want to be overcommitted because we think it's too much time spent in the church. My friends, there is no salvation outside of the church. So if you have time, this is the best place to be. This is the best place to spend your time. This is the best place to get committed. You don't lose anything when you are committed to Christ. Because he would make sure that you are not just hanging. God will make sure that he takes care of you. A lot of us, we are in church because our grandpa prayed for us. And so for a long time, we are living in church because of grandpa's fruits, not because we have sown our own trees and we are tending our own trees. And so we are getting fruits from our own trees. For me, it was my grandmother who relentlessly prayed for me all the time. And when I got in trouble, he would just come and just tell me two things and then would say, you need to straighten that boy. For me, it's my grandmother. It's my grandmother who made sure that on Sundays when I'm not doing anything, I can go to church with her. You see, I've come to a place where I'm realizing that it is not enough for me to ride on my grandmother's fumes. So what fruits do you have? Are you riding on your grandmother's? Are you riding on your brother's? Are you riding because your father is their pastor and so you've been riding on your mother and your father and your brother? We got to commit to our own trees. We got to prep our own land. We have to sow our own seeds. We have to make sure that we sow them at a time where they experience the rain. And as we tend to that farm, hopefully it would yield in abundance for us. Genesis chapter 8. There's a passage there that I love so much. It says that, "For as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will not cease." For as long as it remains. It means that you have to sow in order to reap. If you don't sow, you don't reap. It's simple. So make sure that you are preparing your parcel of land and make sure that it is prepared at a time when the rains come, your seeds can go to the ground firsthand so that you can reap your own fruits. Jesus is coming. And he's coming to look at your tree. What fruits do you have to show him? What fruits are you bearing? Are you bearing fruits that can support the church? Are you bearing fruits so that when I'm also hungry and I come to your house, I can get something to eat? As you get something to eat when you come to my house. My friends, it's about supporting each other. There's another passage that I like, and I want to particularly use this. This was not planned for this morning, but I feel like I have to tell you something. So before we took the offertory, before we took the offering, the brother who prayed about the offering, you could tell that there was some hesitation about telling you to pay your tithe, telling you to bring in the offering, telling you to support the church. It is difficult for us to speak about money in church. It shouldn't be. And this is where that ties in to today's sermon. I'm not Pastor Jake, so don't be mad at him. I'm not Adam, so don't be mad at him. I'm telling you as a guest, you have to support the church with your substance freely, freely. Because a lot of us do that and we attach something to it, something that always comes back. You have to support the church freely. And this is why. If you turn to Luke chapter 6, or write it down, Luke 6, 38. And this is what it says. This is one of my favorite. So we can be here for 20 minutes more for me talking about this passage. Luke chapter 6 and verses 38 says, "Give, it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaking together, and overflowing shall men give unto your bosom." A lot of times when we hear about this passage, we think that it's about money. Yes, it is about money, but it's more than that. It is about you. This passage is about you. It says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall men give unto you." So if you want peace, you gotta give peace. If you want love, you gotta give love. Because that love and that peace and that joy and that education and that everything that you are looking for will be given back unto you, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall men give unto you. You know what this is? This is seed time and harvest, which we just spoke about. This is about preparing your plots. So that when the rains come, you would harvest in abundance because you have sown in abundance. Sow your treasures here in this church. It would protect you. It would make you proud. You will be amazed because our God is a God who surprises us every day. The things that God do for us, if we would sit for a moment and just think about it, there will be no competition. I didn't come here to speak about money. I came here to speak about you. I'm speaking to you, and I hope that you would grasp this opportunity to get something out of the word today. Christ is coming, and when he comes, he is going to look at your tree, your plot, what you have prepared, and he's going to not just look at them. He's going to expect to find a fruit on your tree. What kind of trees are you planting? And what kind of fruits are coming from your tree? You better be prepared. My friends, this is the word of God. Please pray with me. Gracious Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that, Lord, you speak to us in ways that we can understand. So, Lord, let this word that has come forth today be a word that will resonate with us, be a word that would drive us towards our calling, drive us towards our dedication to you. And Holy Spirit, come and take your place. Come and have your way. Come and be glorified. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.